What's up? Zayna here. As per usual, low tech, low budget, low rent, and little to zero know-how. It's been a long day, and usually I don't do jack on Wednesdays, because I'm already pretty exhausted from a week at work. But today, got this bottle of bourbon to finish. And those of you out there who might be, you know, all four of you watching and thinking that I have a burgeoning drug and alcohol problem. You're not all wrong, but I think it's fair to assume that's going to stay on the shelf for the rest of the night. I've got my styrofoam cup, for those of you who can see. And this is just a little Wednesday check-in. And to be honest with you, if we're being real, first of all, I really don't drink that much. Secondly, there's not enough bourbon in Kentucky to get me through the craziness that we're going through here. The truly heartbreaking divisiveness that is permeating into every layer of our existence. And it just doesn't have to be that way. And it breaks my heart. It's finding its way into our, as I've said many times, and I'll continue to say, because maybe it's just me, but it feels very real. Finding its way into the workplace, and quite literally into my clique. Although, as a writer and an introvert, not shy, but I don't really dig being around people all that much. I forgot what I was saying, honestly. And it's not just because of the bourbon. I really haven't had a sip yet. I'm about to do that. I'm just exhausted. I'm exhausted with the fact that this political correctness, this race baiting and pitting people against each other, instead of focusing on love, on decency, on what it is to be a good person, it's just finding the hatred is just finding its way. Hatred masquerading as like tolerance, which is the most insufferable part of all of this. You know, you've got Antifa, who are fascists. You've got the woman who walked up to the elderly couple at the Pittsburgh BLM protest, and ironically, she's wearing a shirt that says Nazi lives don't matter. Well, you know, me personally, Nazism affected my family personally. I would say I agree without equivocation, except for the fact that there's just like this striking, stunning, un-effing believable contradiction in you terrorizing like regular citizens and wearing a shirt like that. Don't you see, my friend and my fellow American, that you are behaving like the Nazi, that you are behaving like a brown shirt? A lot of times I get upset. A lot of times I get real passionate. A lot of times I say things just like anybody else. I try to be rooted in logic. I try to be rooted in fact. And when I make political positions, I am. When I react to things that I see people doing to other people, regardless of their race, regardless, I mean, none of that matters to me. When I see people being indecent, that's where I get really wound up. As I've said before, I'm an average Joe. That's what this whole podcast that I'm attempting to build is supposed to be all about. I'm a smart guy, but I'm an averagely smart guy. I'm not a genius. I rely on people who are, as my little brother would say, who ride a different rail. Jason always says to me, my little brother Jason always says to me, you know, Zay, you ride a different rail. Well, yeah, I ride a different rail than Jay, but not the rail that some of the people that are commenting on these things, like Dennis Prager, who I'm about to reference, or Candace Owens, who I reference often, or Thomas Sowell, or Larry Elder. I don't ride that rail. I'm not even close, and I'm fine with that. I'm just grateful that they exist. So Dennis Prager said in a fireside chat that he has on his YouTube channel that's continuously under attack. I don't remember when. I really have to look it up. But he said something to the effect of, you know, it divide people into two categories. And it's really very simple for him. Decent and indecent. That's it. I hate time for a sip of bourbon. Hang on. Oh, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. Tomorrow is the day. I got this inbox from this new person on Twitter. Social media is all new to me, but this new person on Twitter, Corey. I'm gonna try to remember your full name here. It's not like plugging you on here is gonna do jack for you, because I don't have any followers. But just for the heck of it, I'm gonna do it anyway because you seem like a decent guy, and I want to help out. So this guy's name, his handle is at Corey Buckner, and he inboxed me to see if we could help each other as he talks about topics like politics, fitness, marriage, relationships, etc. So check him out. I'm going to check him out. God knows I really need to delve into the fitness. I'm pretty open about one thing in my life, and that is that I live with a demyelinating disease, multiple sclerosis. I'm really blessed. I could have it way worse. A good friend of mine that I went to high school with, I wouldn't say good friend. My brother's good friends with him. I am friends, or was friends with this individual, but I moved from Connecticut here to Texas. He's suffering from muscular dystrophy. Now that's the... no joke, real deal. Nothing compares, but we all have our stuff. And one of the things that can help me is fitness. So I wanted to plug him real quick. His inboxing me made me think about just how much I need to do that to stave off disability. And maybe it could help other people. And I'll say this again, just in case anybody happens to be listening. And at some point, if I'm relentless, if I don't give up, if I keep pushing, if I keep being, you know, trying to get better and better and better, people will listen. The idea of this podcast really is that decent people coalesce around the idea of decency. And we try to talk to other people. We try to engage other people. We try to talk where others would be violent or aggressive. And we try to do that, myself and eventually my co-host, Harris. Knowing full well that some people will try to harm us, some people will try to discredit us, some people will slander us, some people will sabotage us, some people will have feelings of predation that they'll act on towards us. But then again, on that, the other side of that coin is that a lot of people simply won't do that. They will talk to us. They will engage with us. They will hear us out. And we might just be able to walk away, even though we didn't agree, having learned something and communicated with one of our fellow Americans, which is what this is all about, our brothers and our sisters out there, regardless of what walk of life you come from, your race, creed, color, sexual orientation, identification, whatever. You know what I mean? As a conservative, still, you might think that all those things, I mean, the common misnomer is like, you know, as a conservative, that I won't like you if you're transgender, I won't like you if you're gay. That is stuff the media propagates. It's a lie. It's a load of absolute crap. It's a furious, virulent, disgusting, terroristic lie. And it's propagated quite effectively. And it's really unfortunate. It's really sad because it ruins potential relationships, but fortunately, there are still a handful of people out there, more than a handful, I hope, that that look beyond that. What, as a conservative, I stomp on behalf of is not forcing anybody to do anything else. So if you're going to force individuals to use these pronouns, I'm against that. If you're going to force individuals to accept certain, I'm against that. I want people unencumbered, so long as they're not infringing on the freedoms of other people, to be able to live their lives without any barriers in the way that they see fit. Like I said yesterday when I was talking on the podcast, I believe I was talking with a colleague who is a lesbian, who's gay, and we were bonding over gun rights, and I basically gave her a litmus test about what it means to be conservative. You know, do you believe that you have the right to, as a law-abiding citizen, own a weapon? Oh, absolutely, check. Do you believe as a law-abiding citizen and a member of a minority group or not that you have a right to pursue owning property, regardless, not be discriminated against, and then defend that property when you get it? Oh, absolutely. Of course. Why? That's so silly. Why would I be against that? Okay, check. Do you believe that you have the right to open up a small business with as little oversight as possible so long as you're not hurting anybody, and that you have the right to take a vested interest in that business and to defend that business? Well, of course, that's common sense. Stop it, Zay. You're being ridiculous. Check. You just qualified for the basics of being a conservative. Congrats. I mean, there's just so many misconceptions out there about the core tenets of what being a conservative actually mean. And what they mean is that you have agency. You get to make decisions for yourself. Unlike this critical race theory, which essentially, it says, and I still mean to dedicate an episode to this because I've been reading books on it and stuff, and really, and the more I learn, actually, I thought I knew, but the more I learn, it's not like the less frightened I become, the more just out, holy, good God, what are we going to do? It essentially, again, I use the word essentially, I'm trying to be fair, what it says is that any system that doesn't produce equitable outcomes is racist. And also, the tacit implication is I wake up in the morning, as you can see this stuff on me. If you're listening, you can't see, but I'm demonstrating that I have rather white skin, you know? This makes me a wild, furious, unforgivable racist who must just bow down and grovel, you know? Just because of that. It doesn't matter how I live my life. It doesn't matter that I'm the minority in my peer group, which, frankly, up until the last 26 to 30 months, had really been something that, I mean, I was kind of cognizant of, but frankly, not really. Not in any way that actually mattered. But now I am. Now, I won't let that ruin my relationships, but it's disgusting to me that they've done that. And I don't even subscribe to a lot, to the mainstream media. I try to stay away from it, but also in an effort to stay well-rounded, to listen to those people who would be my detractors. I try to cover all the bases and listen to all the media. And it's put all these ideas into my head. So, not ideas that I agree with, but that you just can't forget because the propaganda is so strong. And so it makes you, you know, wonder, like, you know, do my black friends still love me the way that I love them? Or do they now question their relationship with me? Luckily for me, thus far, we're holding steady. And I do have 100% faith that my black friends who still are like, that's nonsense, I love you, Zay, actually do. Because I love them too. And absolutely nobody, and hear this, fucking nobody, is going to stand in the way between me and my friends. Between me and my family, as we call them. Friends/family. You will not. So stop! I'm so sick of all these people. I'm so sick of the Don Lemons, the Cuomos, the... Most of these people are just, as Al Sharpton says, you know, latte-sipping liberals. Today, Ben Shapiro played on a show, and I really can't think of a ton in my life. Of course, if I looked, I'm sure it's reasonable to believe that I would find one or two instances. Because, you know, you if you actually don't have your head up your rectum, like really up there, just in the deep recesses of your asshole, and you follow somebody, you're going to find something you agree with them on. Over the course of a lifetime. So I'm sure if I looked, there would be several things. But on balance, I think he's just not a good person and a race baiter. But I wanted to see if I could find it. Anybody can look it up. Al Sharpton went out there and essentially said, you know, that this whole defunding the police thing, this may work if you're on the Hamptons and you're a latte sipping liberal living in the Hamptons. But it's not going to work for those who are most vulnerable. No, I don't know if he said the black community or whatnot, but I would say any community. I live in live off Runberg in Austin, Texas. Hopefully not for much longer because Austin has turned into a cesspool. And that has to do with the city council and little else. It's expensive. It's disgusting. And don't believe what you read. Do not, under any circumstances, for any reason, no matter what, ever move here. It's not what it used to be. And with that, I almost forgot what I was saying. Oh, I live in a very racially diverse and even neighborhood. So it's like we have a white population, black population, Hispanic population, and they all seem, I don't know this, but I'm going to guess that the demographics would probably break down within reasonable margins here, point-wise, to like a 33% black, 33% Hispanic, 33% white. I'm going to round there, and I'll bet you dollars to donuts, if I were to get the stats from the city, I am very close. Definitely not spot on, because how could I be? I'm just pulling this, right? But based on knowing my neighbors and looking around and seeing what's actually the reality around me, I'm close. But it's still a vulnerable neighborhood. You know, and you're going to pull, I'm all for reform, but you're going to pull police out of the neighborhood. Now, I have weapons to defend myself. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I have weapons. I know how to take them apart. I know how to clean them. I know how to use them. That's not everybody in this neighborhood. I would advocate for it to be, but it's not. So what are people supposed to do when criminals run rampant? What are they supposed to do? Oh, yeah, come in, take my shit, rape me. You know, kill me if you want, but please don't. You know, my uncle once said, completely naive, dude, I love him to death, but Jerry, Jesus Christ. Hold on, I need a sip of bourbon for this. God, that is such good stuff. Jesus Christ, that is good stuff. Anyway, this was a while ago. Me and my uncle were chopping it up, and, I'm talking a while ago, when I was far more indoctrinated and liberal, before I woke up and realized that everything my dad taught me was, you know, right. You know, he said, I still believed in gun rights then, because that was still, I mean, I grew up in the household of that culture. Not like, it wasn't propounded constantly, like in my face, but was very comfortable with it, very comfortable with the idea of guns, understanding that they were a tool that law-abiding citizens used. And my mom agreed wholeheartedly. So I was very used to that. And we were riding in the car one time. I remember I was on a weekend away from college. And I love my uncle dearly, so don't get the wrong idea. But I just think he's an idiot when it comes to this stuff. Like, Jerry, you're a fucking idiot when it comes to this stuff. I mean, like, there's just no question. And that I say that with all the fiercest love in the world. Still don't care. I'm going to tell it like it is. He was saying how he didn't believe in guns. I was like, well, all right. Well, what if someone breaks into your house and they got a gun to your head and they're trying to kill you? And he says, well, I'll try to talk them out of it. And this reminds me of this March for Our Lives. March for Our Lives Against Guns nonsense that you heard back after the Marjorie Stone High School shooting, which was a tragedy, an extreme tragedy. I work with youth. I have, for all of my adult life in residential settings, worked with at-risk youth. My job is to take care of, pardon me, and respect youth, protect youth and respect them, but respect and protect. So don't want to hear from anybody that I don't care. You people sitting in your living room saying, all, you know, people who criticize them don't care. You're the ones who don't care. Chances are you sit in a cubicle. So run along and go fuck yourself as hard as you possibly can. They were interviewing people at that march. And it was actually, you know, people around my age, 38, 39 years old, up to maybe in their 60s, who were asked, you know, well, you know, what would you do if under attack? And I saw this one elderly lady who I was just thinking to myself, and this is where I get really kind of nasty, and I shouldn't. I should be nicer than this. She's like, well, I'll karate chop him. I'll just go, like, you know, Krav Maga, yo, oh God, oh shit, yo. I'm thinking to myself, you are going to literally be skinned alive, raped, and hung upside down. That's what's going to happen to you. You dumb, 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 da dumb, 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 dumb lady. You're freaking dumb. That's not how people operate. And I don't want to see anybody get hurt. When the rubber meets the road, as much as my passion may overcome me sometimes, I don't really even want to see my enemies get hurt, to be honest with you. Not unless they're trying to hurt me or people I love, or Americans who are of my ilk and my belief. Which includes people of both right and left, by the way. We have to remember, the radical people who really want to destroy America are a very small group of people. They're just getting all the attention. I don't want to see anybody hurt. Ever. Like, ever. It's not fun. It's not enjoyable. Even though, I have to admit, when that Antifa member who fired a Molotov cocktail at a cop ended up lighting himself on fire, that was funny. I'm sorry. He lived, and that's the only reason I'm saying that, but it's kind of like, gotta stop saying that precision of language a little bit here. I don't believe in karma. And I always tell the kids that too at work, when people are like, oh, the karma, the therapist, they're like, the karma, it's karma, it's coming back, give me a effing break. There is no karma. What happens is what happens. If karma was a thing, serial killers that didn't ever get caught wouldn't live to 99 years old. And good people wouldn't die young, like Billy Joel says in that old song. Karma is a load of crap. They are full of shit when they feed you that. Absolutely. There is no such thing as karma. But the fact that this happened to this person was ironic. And now irony, I can totally appreciate. But, that being said, I don't like violence. Violence scares me. I am capable of defending myself if I need to, but I don't ever want it to come to that. Ever. After all, why would I? Why would I? I want to live my life in peace. There's a great line from a funny movie in the 90s came out. You know what? Just to decompress and unwind, I may just rent it on Amazon tonight. I think the movie's called Saving Grace. It's a very funny movie. And it's about an elderly lady who she loses her husband. She's pretty wealthy from the upper crust. And upon losing her husband, she realizes that he had, like, taken out, like, 3 mortgages on the house. Bottom line is, they're bankrupt. They're bankrupt. I'm pretty sure he suicides. Whether he suicides or he dies, it doesn't really matter. He leaves Grace with an insane amount of debt. And as she's going through everything, she's like, this can't be so. This just can't be so. So anyway, she takes to this old British lady. She takes to selling weed to try to salvage what she has. And her little, she's upper middle class to borderline wealthy. So she has people working for her, really good people who join her in this endeavor. And at one point, one of the guys who's her gardener or her something, I forget what he does, but he's laying down on the grass with his girlfriend and he says, all I've ever really wanted to do was get married, have a couple of calm kids, and smoke some ganja, and live out my days in peace. Well, my brother, I echo that. Times infinity. Except, we're not gonna be able to do that. I have struggled for a while with the idea, or with the realization, I should say, that that's not going to be the case for me, or for any patriot on either side of the political spectrum who understands what freedom really means, and who understands that equity of outcome is dictatorship. A meritocracy, best man or woman for the job, is the way to go. Best man or woman, regardless of anything. Your color, your sexual orientation, whether you identify as trans, I don't care. But best human, does that make people feel better? The best human for the job. Not equity of outcome. Equity of opportunity. Equity of chance. But not equity of outcome. That will never work. No matter what. And that's the point. They know. The people that are pushing this know. It's not like they have an inkling. It's not like they sort of suspect. It's not like maybe, you know, we're right, maybe we're wrong. They know it will never work and that they are full of shit. Because the idea has never been. These people at the top, they don't care about racial justice. They don't care about the well-being of the people. They care about what I keep saying. They care about power. They care about domination. And what's any of this got to do with the Constitution and Bill of Rights? Well, it's got nothing to do with it. Never has. And never will. That's what made the whole idea of Barack Obama speaking from Independence Hall, wherever he was. It was, you know, a landmark of our revolution, of our founding, even more insufferable and unbearable. It's what makes it intolerable when Nancy Pelosi stands up and says, you know, references in any way the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, or when Joe Biden or Kamala Harris does it. Not only do these people loathe those very beautiful ideals, loathe them, I mean like with every fiber of their being, but they seek to eradicate them. And I've said it before and I'll say it now. The individuals that are stomping on behalf of this eradication are going to be gobsmacked when they realize that the ruling elite never had you in mind in the first place. They didn't care about you. And they never will until the end of time. It doesn't matter if Kamala Harris had an interview with you. She does not care for you. And she never will. She's a horrifying piece of human trash. And she's never going to care about you. People like me. People like your average Joe Schmo out there care more. She didn't care. She wants her policies enacted. And we're all going to suffer as a result of it. No matter what your economic status, no matter what your race, no matter anything. It's not going to matter. If we can't get it together and rally behind this American ideal, and I still mean to do this episode on Frederick Douglass, who's like one of my heroes, because he talked about this quite openly and eloquently. Like I said in the beginning about riding a different rail, Frederick Douglass rides a different rail than me. He's much smarter. So when I research and put the episode together, I really need to do my homework. I really need to read it, because this is a man, or it was a man, who by an order of magnitude is more intelligent. And that doesn't make me resentful. Just thank God that he existed. I just thank God he was there. At the time and place that he was there. I'm sorry for anything he went through. But what he left behind for us to learn from is of truly inestimable value. It seems to me we've forgotten all about that. It doesn't count anymore. The 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, they don't count. They don't count. Even though during the Reconstruction, the Radical Republicans, who have always been the party of civil rights, were the party that freed slavery. ended it, came up with those amendments, really stuck it to the Democrats. Look, I'm about out of patience and energy for today. But we all need to do our homework. We're gonna go through this thing, one way or another. I keep saying to people, all of whom don't want to hear it, for various different reasons we can table for another time. We're going to go through this. We're going to go through this Joe Biden, Kamala Harris nightmare. And what it's going to do is going to damage the United States of America almost irreparably. It's very likely. Very likely. But their victory to reduce us to serfs, to trick us, to do a switch and bait, which is exactly what they're doing with BLM and Antifa, their victory is by no means assured. It's by no means assured. You see, because these individuals, they suspect that Black Americans and people of color all line up behind them. The problem is, they are woefully mistaken. Woefully mistaken. And they're only going to be able to find that out once they steal the election or win it, whatever. And their true colors fly, and Americans go, whoa, hold the phone. What? This is not what I signed on for. So to my fellow Americans on this Wednesday, September 9, 2020, I say this. Buckle up. We are in for a ride. Perhaps the ride of our lives. But I do believe in our better angels, as Abraham Lincoln said. And while I believe we're going to have to go through this, and I believe that the pain may be beyond all explanation along the way, we will come through it. We will persevere, just as we always have. And we'll come out, hopefully, with a memory that endures the test of time and never allows us or permits us, or at least not for a long time, because these things go in cycles, to repeat the same mistakes again. There's so much more I could say about the indoctrination of our kids, of people in the workplace, but frankly, I'm exhausted. Because I'm an essential worker, and I go out and I deal with it every day. So I'm out. Remember, you can only go with what you know. Until next time, I'm Zayna, and everybody, please be safe. And remember, if you're drinking whiskey or bourbon, it's not actually bourbon unless that shit was made in Kentucky. See ya.